The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Now we're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland, for The Green Scene. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
First topic, animals playing doctor. This is absolutely fascinating.
That's right. There was a recent study, it came out last week, looking at dolphins. And dolphins have this thick, resilient skin, but they do get a lot of different skin conditions and infections. And what scientists observed these dolphins doing were queuing up in the morning to rub themselves along different corals and sponges. And they did this in the morning and then again in the evening. So sort of they seemed to be brushing off parasites, but also they found that the corals were being forced to release this mucus, which was coating the skins of the dolphins. And when scientists went and analysed this mucus from the sponges that they were rubbing up against, they found at least 17 different chemicals that all look like things that we know have medicinal properties, like antibacterial properties or antioxidant properties. So it does look like the dolphins are very deliberately treating their skin with the chemical coming from these corals and sponges.
So they have a daily skin routine. Now, chimpanzees learning to eat plants, and one of it is one of the plants is Aspilia leaves, and they don't chew them. That, you know, swallow it whole, as it were. Tell me what's going on there.
Yes, so the chimpanzees are also looking at medications. And again, these leaves are rough leaves and they don't really have a great nutritional value. So scientists were wondering when they saw the chimpanzees swallowing these whole. But what they found when they looked at the chimpanzee's feces, it was full of undigested bristly leaves, which had actually pulled out parasitic worms from the chimpanzee's digestive systems. So again, this is a kind of medication that the chimps are getting from nature to keep themselves healthy.
And there are other primates who use ants and various millipedes quite in a sophisticated way.
They do. I mean, we are not the only ones that suffer with mosquitoes when we go out to warm places. And a lot of our primate cousins live in these places. And they do. They've been found getting millipedes and they break them up, rub them on their skin. And millipedes contain a chemical called benzoquinine, which repels mosquitoes, a bit like the quinine that we talk about in drugs for malaria. And they also use ants. There's actually, it's called anting. And things like capuchin monkeys will take ants, they crush them up and they make a paste that wards off ticks. So all around us, and in fact it's interesting for us, we can be guided to new chemicals by this information that's been passed from animal generation to animal generation over time.
Yeah, and brown bears make a paste of osha roots to rub it in their fur to repel insects and soothe them. But African elephants induce labour. How?
That's right. I mean, we've heard about raspberry leaf tea. Anyone here who's been waiting for labour might have been told to drink that. And African women, indeed, make a tea with the leaf of this very same tree that elephants use to induce labour themselves, which we know is a really big social event in an elephant community. And I think possibly most fascinatingly, in a recent evolution, we also see birds in Mexico. And they've started actually taking cigarette butts off the ground and putting them into their nest because they seem to repel ticks getting into the nests and damaging their babies. So all around we see kind of nature using what's there as medication.
Now, the other topic you want to address is lunar ice. Is there ice on the moon?
Well, there is ice on the moon, Pat, but it's sort of been a controversial topic. It was kind of only confirmed about 10 years ago that ice was there, but we're still kind of working out where that water came from. I mean, like the Earth, we think that some of it was probably contained in the rocks of the Earth and the moon in their early formation, but also that asteroids coming from Earth might have left water on the moon and the Earth. We certainly think that's where a lot of Earth's water came from. But we have been looking at rocks coming from the moon. And what scientists have done is they've estimated, based on the amount of water vapor traces they can see in those rocks, and looking at the number of volcanic eruptions that we know happened on the moon. So there was about 2 billion years of the moon's life where there was eruptions happening all the time. And scientists have been able to estimate how much of that Earth the water coming out of the volcanoes might have been retained on the moon under the rocks, and how much of it probably evaporated out into space. And the amount of water that probably stayed on the moon is much greater than we thought. In fact, there could be ice at the poles of the moon that is many, many hundreds of meters thick. It's not easily visible because it's buried under the moon soil, the moon dust. But it's probably there. And the next missions that go to the moon, the Artemis mission that plans to go to the moon in the next couple of years, one of the things it will do is actually go to the poles and try and sample to see, is that ice there? Could it potentially be usable water for growing things on the moon or for rocket fuel? So it's really, really interesting, this study.
Dr. Ruth Riemann, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News.